This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
All right, today we are going to be talking about Rivercom, Rivercom 911, and we have Director Misty Vibrock joining us, and you got that post a little earlier this year. Congratulations, Misty.
Thank you very much, Dave.
I asked, how long have you been, first off, how long have you been in emergency dispatch?
I've been going for 21 years now.
Wow, long, long time. And when were you officially named the executive director for Rivercom?
January 2nd of
okay.
this year.
Okay, so just about a full 6 months now.
Yeah, it's
on
flying
the post.
By.
So, in that capacity, and I'm going to have you slide just a little bit closer to that mic. There we go. In that official capacity, the Emergency Communication Systems and Facilities Tax is up for renewal coming up in August. So we're going to have a little discussion here over the hour about renewal of that tax, the important role that that funding mechanism plays for maintaining our communications system. For those people that think, hey, when I look at my cell phone bill or my phone bill, I see it says right on there 911 tax. That ought to just about cover it. No, that's not how this all gets paid for, this lifeline that we have here. So give us a little bit of the basics of how Rivercom is funded, the different funding sources, and then we're going to talk about why renewal of this tax at basically a dime when you purchase $100 worth comes into the mix, and why it's so important. So again, that what we see on our phone bill doesn't nearly amount unto enough, correct?
That's correct, Dave. So the phone excise tax for 2018 brought in over just a little over $1 million. So and one piece that the public is not aware of, or I would say most of them are not aware of, it's something that I actually have just learned in this new role, but that 95 cents that you're paying per line on your cell phone or your landline, Rivercom receives 70 cents. 70 cents goes directly to the counties and then directly to Rivercom. So if you live in Douglas County, it goes directly to Douglas County, and then Douglas County sends it right to Rivercom. That 70 cents can only be used for any call-taking pieces. So any 911 call-taking, that's the only type of criteria we can use that money for. So that revenue, again, is only about $1 million. And so the 25 cents, the remaining 25 cents, goes to the state office, and they put it into a pool of money, and then we get some contract money for that. From that, and that also is mostly just for call taking. There is no revenue that comes from your phone excise tax that actually pays for any pieces of the dispatch system.
You've got the big pie chart there in front of you. What other sources of revenue outside of the 911 tax that, or the Rivercom tax that everyone helps fund, even visitors alike when they come here? What other sources of revenue do you have?
Well, I'll talk to the sales tax last because that is the largest form of revenue for us, and it has less restrictions, although we had a funding agreement that the board wrote for the last measure, so that measure sunsets into the end of this year. We have the second piece of revenue is our agency assessment fees. So the 23 agencies that we service, all the law, fire, and EMS agencies in Chelan and Douglas counties, they really pay the majority of our operations budget. And so for 2018, we received about $2.7 million from those agencies, which accounted for about 36% of our total revenue. Just a sliver of another piece of revenue, which I kind of spoke to already, is part of that excise tax, and that is the 25 cents that goes to the state. The state provides a grant for us after that money is collected, and we received just $253,000 last year. The state grant, that money is gradually going away every year. When we first opened in 2004, we had a much larger grant that the state provided to us, but it just keeps gradually going away. It's not funding that we can project, and it's not funding that we can count on. It's very unstable. The account has been swept numerous times over the years for other reasons, although it has been set aside for 911, but it gets swept all the time, so it's not sustainable. So the fourth piece of revenue, again, is the largest piece of revenue that we have, and that is the communications and sales tax that we have been collecting since 2010.
And that, according to this pie chart in the material I have, was about $3.2 million.
That's correct.
I didn't bring my readers in.
No, that's it.
Okay, I want to make sure that I'm reading that. I'll grab them on the commercial break here. Forgot to bring in my readers, but
no problem.
So you're talking overall about roughly $7 million to make the system work in terms of bringing in revenue.
That's correct.
I'm frankly a little surprised that you can run the agency on that amount of revenue, but that doesn't solve facilities needs and things like that, equipment needs and things like that on a long-term basis, correct?
That is correct. I think many of our citizens will remember back when we went after the sales tax in 2009, in August of 2009. The core reason for doing so is we had inherited several radio sites that had been operating for 20-plus years without any maintenance. Several of these sites were in shipping containers. The towers were about to fall down. You know, the core piece of our dispatching operations was about to fail. And so the board at the time, it's my understanding that they asked for it to sunset. We really needed it to pass, and they figured if we could get this to pass, that we would show the public that we were being good stewards of the money. And they wrote a funding agreement so that the money could be used solely for radio interoperability and the improvements to our radio sites and to really and the technology to run that the radio part.
We're talking with Misty Vibrock, who is the Rivercom Executive Director of the Emergency Communication Systems and Facilities Tax. It's going to be on the ballot on August 6th. So this is not a new tax or a tax increase. We're talking one-tenth of 1%, who pays this? It's a sales tax, so anyone buying something, right?
Yeah, it's a sales tax, and, you know, I view this as one of the fairest ways to fund the 911 center. And the reason being, Dave, is Chelan and Leavenworth, just those communities are high tourist communities. We have a lot of folks that visit from out of our area that come to Lake Chelan in the summertime, like currently, and go boating and visit and stay up there. And, you know, we have a lot of boating accidents and drownings. And, you know, they're not responsible for all of those emergency calls. But they help pay for the service because they're there. They're purchasing from the local businesses. And ultimately, many of them have to end up using the service.
So it's bringing in about roughly 44%. I'm looking at the pie chart here. About 44% of your revenue is coming from this.
Yes.
The difference, though, that's going to be approached this time around is to ask voters to approve this without a sunset clause, which is quite common amongst emergency dispatch centers around the state. In fact, at our neighboring, they call it the MAC, and I'm not sure what MAC stands for, but that's essentially Moses Lakes Rivercom, if you will, correct? But,
I believe it stands for Multi-Agency Communications Center.
But a lot of these centers similar to Rivercom have gone to this without a sunset clause. Why did the board feel that that was an important step to take with this funding mechanism?
Are you talking about putting the sunset on it the first time?
No, measure coming before voters, which would not expire, won't have a sunset clause. So if this passes, there's some real benefits that you need to tackle, including maybe someday a new home for Rivercom and the ability to bring on more staff and certainly more dispatchers.
That's correct, Dave. You know, we had a lengthy discussion at the board meeting about sunset or no sunset. We had a lengthy discussion with all of our user agencies. And when we really look long term, there is no other funding agreement. So when we look at, you know, we are a long ways from being completed with our radio site improvements. We have sites that we'll be constructing. These sites that we construct for the first time, or even demo and rebuild from the ground up and put in a new tower, we're looking at least $1 million for those sites. You know, then you get these sites up and running, and then you have maintenance and you have ongoing repairs, and, you know, they have a life expectancy. We're going to probably end up having to do this down the road as well. So when we look down the road to see, you know, do we need to sunset this? There is no other, we made the determination because there is no other funding mechanism to keep these technologies going, and capital improvements. You know, we have no funding for capital improvements. And so, you know, we look down the road, we're unable to really plan the 5 to 10 years out without some stable funding. This is the only long-term sustainable and stable funding for Rivercom. And so we made the decision to ask the voters to just help us, you know, just continue the sales tax. And again, we're not hitting your property tax. And I think that's one thing that we talked about. If this should not pass, ultimately, $3+ million a year would go back to our user agencies. They would have to absorb that that shortfall in the revenue. And, you know, if they're unable to do that, they're going to have to find how they're going to fund Rivercom. We're going to have to remain operational. We aren't going to have, you know, we can't go away. I view Rivercom as the heartbeat of the public safety system. We are the link between the public and the responders. And if we're not there or operational, then our system's broken. And so hopefully I addressed that appropriately, but really the short answer is there's no other long-term sustainable funding for Rivercom.
So your solution is let's keep the tax rate the same, 1/10 of 1%, the same that it's been, just eliminate the sunset clause so that you've got this ongoing source of revenue. As opposed to maybe going and getting a loan for capital needs such as that, that's going to be a more expensive proposition.
Yeah, you know, we looked at could we bond some capital expenses like this. And when we look at technology, about the time we'd be able to pay off a bond, we'd have equipment that's going obsolete and at the end of its life expectancy. And so we'd have to go back out for another bond, and you see how that goes. So, again, we have so much work to do to remain ahead of technology, and we have a lot of areas, both in Chelan and Douglas counties and the more rural areas, but we have locations where we are still unable to speak to our responders.
Well, I want to ask you about that, and I want to ask you about elbow room, so to speak, down at, if you're not aware where Rivercom is, they're located on one of the upper floors of the Wenatchee Police Station. But you've got a lease that expires at some point. But before we kind of dive into that, we have a scanner. I think a lot of people have scanners. They probably at times hear, you can even get a scanner on your mobile phone. I just got one. In fact, in the break, I'm going to ask you if you have an opinion of the particular app I downloaded. But you'll hear officers saying that they can't hear you or they can't communicate, and so they're literally using their cell phone to communicate. Can there be more, what does it take, more tower sites to keep up your two-way system with the different agencies that you use? I thought I heard you mention $1 million or some pretty hefty price tags. How many holes, I guess, in the transmission link are there in the Rivercom service area?
So we have one example to give you is one of our real rough spots for communication with law and fire and EMS is pretty much the south end of the East Wenatchee all the way to Rock Island. Communication throughout that stretch is just really poor. And so you will hear a lot the deputies on a traffic stop, you know, maybe they're getting into trouble and they're trying to call for help, and we have to say, you know, repeat your traffic, you were scratchy or you're unreadable, and they don't have time for that. You know, they want the system to work. They deserve to have the system to work. And it's really the same for fire and EMS. If we have a fire call out there and our fire department needs to ask us for more resources, we should have a clear signal going on there.
What would it take to improve the signal in that area? A new tower site?
I'm really excited to announce that we just, we've been looking for several years now for a piece of property where we could put a new site up that would expand that coverage. And we just signed a lease with Alcoa for a piece of their property, just received the lease last week. And so we will be constructing a brand new radio site there that should vastly improve that service area. But to even go a little further, we've got a problem up on Stevens Pass for the Lake Wenatchee responders. You know, they have horrible accidents up there on the pass in the wintertime, and there's a stretch of area that we cannot communicate with the responders. One other piece that we've just recently done is a couple of years ago, you'll recall one of the Okanagan County firefighters got burned in the Grass Valley Fire, if I remember the correct fire name. And that's a pocket of area that is really difficult to communicate amongst the firefighters. And so we just recently added a tactical repeater for those folks on the Cooley Dam repeater. So that will help this summer, hopefully.
Yeah, and as we head to a break, since we're on the discussion of emergency communications, if you're listening to us right now, there is apparently alternating traffic at the scene about 3 miles south of Blewett Pass near some construction work there where there's been a fatality accident. So right now, your best bet, avoid Blewett Pass. Use I-90 and then coming up through George and Quincy, or use Highway 2 with fatality accident investigations. Those are lengthy at best, and there's construction work going on in that area as well, already up to 20-minute delays. So Blewett Pass right now is going to be congested, and we'll pass that along to you. Right now that is a travel slowdown through Blewett Pass. 12:31 with our conversation with Rivercom Executive Director Misty Vibrock. And voters in Chelan and Douglas County, the service area for Rivercom, being asked to renew the 0.1% sales tax on the Emergency Communication Systems and Facilities Tax. And we're going to talk about the space needs for Rivercom. We're going to talk about some of the equipment needs as well. There's a lot of communications gear and high-tech stuff. And you've got to keep up with the requirements as well for the all the enhanced 911 and wherever communications goes into the future. So we're going to cover all that as the conversation continues on the agenda.
Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
We are with Misty Vibrock, the Executive Director of Rivercom 911, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the renewal of the Emergency Communication Systems and Facilities Tax on the August primary. Real quick, how many emergency dispatchers are there?
We are authorized 32. Unfortunately, we are under a little bit of a staffing crunch right now. But
do you need more?
We do need more. We actually have 7 currently in the training process, which, you know, we hired them as fast as we could, but it takes some time. But
it's a difficult job, and I imagine the stress is incredible. And imagine there's a fair amount of burnout when you do that job, because you're dealing with folks in a high-stress situation. You know, they're doing their best to try and help them, and so it's a difficult job, and really respect them. They're right along with all of our first emergency responder crews. So a difficult job.
It is a difficult job.
Well, you came from it, and do you ever get a headset on and handle any calls at this point in your career?
Yeah. I started clear back in 1998, actually. I was hired by the city of Wenatchee, and I was a 911 operator and a fire and EMS dispatcher. Even though I was a city of Wenatchee employee, I actually sat up next to the sheriff's office dispatch, and we were answering their overflow, and they'd been that way for some time. But in 1998, we transferred down to the city of Wenatchee Police Department. I'm sorry, in 1999, about a year and a half later after I was hired. And we cross-trained, so we became police, fire, and EMS dispatchers for city of Wenatchee, fire and EMS for all Chelan and Douglas counties. And then in 2004, Rivercom was formed and started working there as a supervisor. became an operations manager in 2013 and then just recently hired as the director. But to answer your question, I did work a little bit more as an operations manager. I just wanted to keep up on my skills. I felt like as a leader, I needed to know what they were going through to make changes for them. But in the last 6 months as director, I really have not had the time. You know, I've been full force on the sales tax renewal and knew it was going to be a critical task and something that I needed to get ahead of and work really hard to make sure it was that the public's educated on the critical need.
One more question on the personal side. What makes a good dispatcher, do you think?
Well, I think the number one thing is you have to have the ability to multitask like no other. You are literally listening to someone in your ear who's calling from the public, either an emergency situation or just a business line telephone call, and then you have responders on your radio, police, fire, and EMS folks that are asking you information. So having it, we call it a split ear, where you can hear your caller and you can hear the radio traffic and you can balance that. So
hard work and takes special skills. Now, right now, up on top of the Wenatchee Police Station, you can't necessarily be there forever. First off, just from a space needs, correct?
That's correct. As of recently, we've felt it for since about 2015. Specifically, we recall back when the Sleepy Hollow fires broke out, and we paged for help. So we alerted our staff that we needed more employees to come in. We have 11 working stations in our facility, and we paged for help, and we had about 5 more employees than we had a position for them to sit and work at. So it was unfortunate. We really needed a lot of help at that point. But we went through a professional needs study, and we are 3,500 square feet short of what we need just for a little bit of growth today. Our lease with the City of Wenatchee for that space, it expires in 2024, and so we know that we cannot stay there. There's not any extra space to renovate to be able to remain there. And it's disappointing for the simple fact that it's beautiful space. I mean, we have a wonderful view. It's not space we would ever want to leave, but we have to be able to keep up with the growth of our communities are growing rapidly, both in Chelan and Douglas counties, and we have a lot of needs as far as that space goes. We do our own in-house training academy. That takes up our conference room, so when we have meetings with our user agencies, we have no conference room. We can't have internal meetings because that conference room is taken up. So we'd also like to have a surge room so that when we have a major incident, we can open up more consoles for the folks to sit and work.
So you can't operate on a normal basis for the most extreme situations, but then in your line of work, when there is an extreme situation, you've got to be able to do the job as effectively as possible. So you've got to have the place to hook up the terminals and all that gear. So put you kind of between a rock and a hard place. And you can't use the funding that's on that little 911 tax that we see on the phone bill for that, correct?
That's correct. We cannot. It can only go for call taking. Again, we don't have any other mechanism for capital improvements or facilities. That impact would land right onto our user agencies. So that impact would go to their budgets, you know.
So thus the request to renew the communication systems and facilities tax coming up in August. And at the same rate, you're just asking that planning for the future, more space needs. Now, what about equipment? And I got a tour once of Rivercom 911, and you opened somebody opened a door, and it's just banks and banks of equipment, computer-driven these days. And that stuff you have to upgrade all the time, unfortunately.
Yeah. You know, if you think about your home computer and the updates that it requires and all the security that you try to do at your home, that is tenfold at Rivercom. Our computers are never turned off. We run 24/7. So the replacement of those PCs and that equipment is on an ongoing schedule, but we have no mechanism to replace that. We used to get an equipment contract through the state, so we were able to replace this equipment. We haven't received an equipment contract from the state for over 4 years, and we don't believe that will come back. So again, another capital expense that that needs to be funded, and it would be able to be funded through the sales tax.
So, what kind of shape is the equipment in at this point? Are you running pretty outdated stuff? You got some old Windows based stuff that no longer is supported. I know you have your own internal IT, but what is the status of the basic system that's supporting Rivercom equipment right now?
Sure. So one piece is our radio consoles. So that is the PC that runs our radio. So when dispatch talks to the responders, that is that PC. Those are looking, we're at ending 10 years of life on those PCs, and we are ending that life. We actually can use the current sales tax to replace those, and we're moving ahead on that. The consoles that the employees sit at, those have been in there since we opened the doors at Rivercom, and they are ergonomic, so they can stand or sit down while they're dispatching. You know, they're sitting or standing for over 12 hours a day on most days, and those stations are failing. We can't get parts any longer from the vendor. There's no mechanism to replace our consoles. So if we were able to get the sales tax to renew, we can actually use that money at a much larger scope from what the RCW allows you to use it for, basically anything to run a center. It would be, again, on the Rivercom Administrative Board, who's made up of our fire EMS, as well as representatives from City of East Wenatchee, and commissioners from Douglas and Chelan County. So ultimately, they will make the decision of what's the funding model going to look like. They will run, they will manage, help us manage that budget if that sales tax should be renewed. So it's not, we're not just going to go rogue with that money. You know, we're going to, but it, again, it allows us to do some strategic planning. What I want for us is I want a center that's going to keep up with the growth of our communities. This site would also, this, if we were able to get a new facility, it would be a prime radio site. If you're not aware, most of our line of sight to our other radios, happens from the top of that Wenatchee Police Department. We have, equipment up there and towers that talk to the other radio sites that are, much more remote. So line of sight would be, something we have to have moving forward. So it would be our prime radio facility as well.
So you might need to be located maybe a little bit higher up in elevation in the Wenatchee area, let's say, maybe a little, for instance, the hospital, a confluence comes to mind because they're at a little higher elevation, somewhere that gives you a better vantage point and better line of sight communication to other towers around the area.
That's correct. Line of sight will be one of the most important things to consider, as well as one thing that I've learned pretty quickly from our radio manager is that the noise floor. So when you're located in the city of Wenatchee, downtown or anywhere where there's a lot of businesses, you know, there's servers that are running and other equipment that causes interference with radio reception. And so it's called the noise floor, which I'm just learning, but you want to get away from that so that there's not as much interference with radios.
And what about the advent of new kinds of equipment and communications? You've got to be prepared to purchase that if I don't buy a new mobile phone, that's on me. Are there mandates on you in terms of the type and generation of equipment that you're using to communicate with?
Yes, so that we do get state required mandates, and usually that's, you know, here you're required to do this, and we don't have any funding or money to give you to accomplish that, but here's the mandate. For example, right now we haven't been mandated yet, but text in 911, so we'll be looking to go to that very soon.
Now, how does that work?
So text to 911 is actually an application that we would need to turn on. There is a paid vendor and there's a free version. And when I talk to other area centers trying to get ahead of this and get us to text to 911, of course there's problems with the free version. And so again, the paid version gives you a better system of working, but it's a web-based technology, so we would have to have another computer sitting at our stations because we don't allow the internet to go through our master computers for concern of cybersecurity. So we would need another standalone computer for each telecommunicator to be able to receive a text to 911.
So I could text, I'm having a heart attack or something like that.
That's correct.
To 911, and would it know where I'm at?
It would not. Oh. It would be treated just like a wireless phone call. And so, if you texted today, the vendors have an automatic bounce back message that would come to you and say, text is not, it's not live in this area, so you'll need to make a phone call, a voice call. But it doesn't change the wireless activity. It still is going to present to us as a wireless call.
Okay. Well, we'll take a quick break and come back with your final thoughts. We're with Misty Vibrock, who's Executive Director of Rivercom 911. And funding 44% of their budget is coming through the 0.1% sales tax that everyone pays in Chelan and Douglas County. But that vital funding mechanism on the ballot August 6th. And we'll come back to finish up the conversation next on The Agenda. 12:48 now.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Well, 12:51 on The Agenda, and a quick reminder, Blewett Pass, about 3 miles south of the summit, a fatality accident. Now under investigation, they're trying to have one lane with alternating traffic there. But remember, there is also construction work going on there. State Patrol advising you avoid the Blewett Pass area there. Consider instead Stevens Pass or I-90 and through the George and then up through Quincy as a way to get around some of those traffic delays. Rivercom Executive Director Misty Vibrock here with us. And, again, your final thoughts on why this funding mechanism is so vital.
I think one thing that I haven't spoken about, Dave, is just I wanted the public to understand something that the technology has really helped us with is for 2018, Dr. Lance Jobe at Central Washington Hospital gives us all of our cardiac arrest survival rates. And he presented at our May board meeting. He receives all of our cardiac arrest calls, provides quality assurance, and then I give that to the employees for feedback. And we just try to do better and better and better. But we learned this year in his presentation that the national average for witness cardiac arrest survival is 33%. Rivercom's for Chelan and Douglas counties witnessed cardiac survival rate was 57%. So, again, the national average, 33%. Rivercom is at 57%. Not alone. Of course, that's our user agencies involved in those life saves as well. But this was a technology piece that we had to incorporate. It was an enhancement that allowed us to page out our responders faster. We were able to shave off up to 2 minutes on processing for fire and medical calls. So,
and that's a result of what you can do with the money that this tax supports, whereas that you can't spend basically that 911 tax money we see on our phone bill.
That's correct. This was an interface between our radio and our CAD system that allowed us to speed up those call processing times.
So, again, the Emergency Communication Systems and Facilities Tax is a renewal. It's not an increase. Same tax you've been paying. The only difference in the request this time is it eliminates the sunset clause that has typically been in place as this tax comes up for a vote each time. Well, again, where can folks go to learn more about the request?
So, Dave, I appreciate you asking that. They can go to our Rivercom website. It's rivercom911.org. And on that homepage, there's a link to an informational packet that is very detailed, and they are more than welcome to go there. They can also contact me, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that I haven't addressed today.
Okay. We appreciate the time and the little report on what's happening with your support of Rivercom through that sales tax that everyone pays in Chelan and Douglas County. Misty Vibrock, our guest today on The Agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.